So we've done part one, which was the post-exilic, so 400 and something. And now we're going back to some of the ancient stuff that he was gathering and collecting, or she or them, into a book. Here in this section, chapter 10 to 22, and I'll only do half of today, we come to the ancient core of the scroll. It's a collection of mostly single-sentence wise sayings that have their origin in oral tradition. Mum's mother told her, and she told me, and I told... didn't have anyone to tell. Anyhow, I'm telling you. So it kind of hands on. Each saying captures an aspect of life, and as you'll see, and aims to express an insight into how we can live a productive life in a way that contributes to our own personal happiness and success, and also to the well-being of the community. For the most part, the religious dimension is not stated in this. It's assumed. So it's not religious teaching, it's wisdom teaching, assuming the other. The focus is on how one lives wisely in the practical circumstances of one's life. Each saying aims to give expression to a value learned from life experience. And you'll check each one of them. Some of you might say, that fits with my life experience. Or some of you might think, heavens, doesn't fit mine. It aims to get the reader to reflect on his or her life in such a way as to avoid pitfalls and live a reflective and productive life. So now I'm just selecting, because I can't do anything else with you. There's a few examples. Hatred stirs up strife. Love covers all offences. Examination of conscience now. Have you ever had someone speak to you very badly and you've barked back? And would you agree that all you did was make it worse?
Yeah,
like it was almost no way out, because you got worse and worse and worse and worse and worse and worse and worse, regretted everything you said. If someone speaks badly to you, they do have a problem. You don't, necessarily. So wouldn't it be wise to just keep it calm and, I'm sorry, darling, or let's try next time, or I don't know what you do, but adding to the heat without adding light doesn't work. Another thing, 10:19, when words are many, transgression is not lacking. Who's doing all the talking now? But the prudent are restrained in speech. Silence often is golden, isn't it? Mm-hmm. If you can just hold back. Now, for all you people who employ people, like vinegar to the teeth and smoke to the eyes, so are the lazy to their employers. What are you laughing about, Al? So, yes, you've all been in places where people were lazy and a damn nuisance. Well, they are. So he did too, obviously. Excuse me. I won't give the 11:6. The righteousness of the upright saves them. Righteous is a very funny English word, but have you look at it again? I wish this thing worked, but it doesn't seem to. What are you doing? Righteousness, can you see the second word there? Is actually, righteous is right wise. That's what it is, but it collapses as words too when they're used. So righteous means wise as to what is right. That's the best way to understand it, and that's what it means. It saves them. The treacherous are taken captive by their schemes. Eleven, 12-14. Whoever belittles another lacks sense. Do you ever put people down? Don't put your hand up. I mean, it's not a general confession, but think about it. An intelligent person remains silent. A gossip goes about telling secrets. One who is trustworthy in spirit keeps a confidence. God, that's important, isn't it? Keeping confidence. Where there's no guidance, don't laugh at this, a nation falls. In an abundance of advisers, there's safety. Still chapter 11, those who are kind benefit themselves. The cruel do themselves harm. This bit you may prefer not to listen to, but here it is. Like a gold ring in a pig's snout is a beautiful woman without sense. If he were teaching girls, he could have turned it around, but he wasn't. So, like a gold ring in a pig's snout is a beautiful woman without good sense. I don't know why you're all smiling. If the righteous are repaid on earth, how much more the wicked and the sinner? First letter of Peter quotes that, chapter 4, verse 18. If it's hard for the righteous to be saved, what will become of the ungodly, the wicked, and the sinner? Chapter 12. Those who till their land will have plenty of food. Those who follow worthless pursuits have no sense. Fools show their anger at once. The prudent ignore an insult. Whoever speaks the truth gives honest evidence. A false witness speaks deceitfully. Rash words are like sword thrusts. The tongue of the wise brings healing. And why wouldn't we want to heal everybody? Why would we want to use words like a sword? Again, still chapter 12. Anxiety weighs down the human heart, but a good word cheers it up. So why not a good word from me or you? In the path of the righteous, those who are wise as to what is right, there's life. The way of folly leads to death. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. A desire fulfilled is a tree of life. And this is a bite at the system that he was living under. The field of the poor may yield much fruit, but it's swept away through injustice. The prophets, which we did some length, we did all of them, they're not actually speaking against injustice directly. I think this is a fair statement. They're speaking against injustice, which has the appearance of being just. In other words, the people with power make the laws, so you're not actually, you're keeping the law, you're doing everything according to the book, but it's actually unjust. And at this early times, in the different centuries, they were taking over land, which happened in England later and probably happened here, I don't know, taking out big things, taking over people's land, and they were all going to the city where they were just, didn't have work and poverty, stuff happens all over the world, sadly. The field is swept away through injustice. Those who spare the rod hate the child. We learnt that as a kid, didn't you? Spare the rod and spoil the child, I think we heard. Those who love them are diligent in disciplining them. When you haven't got any kids of your own, you become a bit stupid, to be quite honest, because you think you can give advice, and I don't give it, but when you look around at sometimes parents treating their child, you know, I mean, I'll just tell you a few of them, and the child might be, they might have a real gift. Let's assume they've got a real gift, but it's not dancing. So they're dancing and mum and dad are thinking she's marvellous. That's not going to help her in the slightest. She's going to continue dancing badly with this image of, am I going on a bit? Like, it really is bad. Flattery, and let's find a person's gift and nurture it with love, but not pretend that everything my daughter does is just marvellous, because it's, oh, I didn't know I had a daughter, because it's not marvellous. Those who love them are diligent in disciplining them. One of my earliest memories, now that it's flooded into my mind, is sitting, I don't know where I was, sitting on the back or steps of a house somewhere, it wasn't home, and I was sitting there, I think I was there for hours, it probably wasn't, because you know when you're a child, everything goes on and on and on and on and on, and I was sitting there on my own because I had not shared my popcorns or whatever it was with the others. I kind of wanted them. So there's no way I was going to get away with that. So there I am sitting there, and look, I'm remembering it. So now whenever I get popcorn, I give you the first. Like, we remember, discipline's fine. Dad used to belt us a lot, the older ones more than me, because he didn't have such good health. I used to think I used to get a lot of beltings, but they said, oh, you don't know what it's like. But the beauty of my dad was, which won't hurt you to hear this, is that immediately you got the whack, you had to go down and pull the thing off the tree to bring to Dad, punishing stick, and then you'd cop that. But the minute you'd got your punishment, seriously, never mentioned again, all over, complete love, done. No psychological, yesterday, you know, that kind of stuff. No. Action, reaction, kids, like little puppy dogs, all over. Anyway, I'm telling you more than I need, but yeah, that's what my... Wisdom has built herself a house. Folly tears her down with his own hands. The heart knows its own bitterness. No stranger shares its joy. I think that's kind of true. You can't. Ultimately, we're alone, aren't we? You know, people can help a bit and sympathise, and we don't want to be stuck on our own. But ultimately, we
the very end.
Yeah, we hold our own bit and our joys. You just can't share it. It's too big. The wise are cautious and turn away from evil. The fool throws off restraint and is self-assured. This is interesting. The poor are disliked even by their neighbours. They're lowering the worth of your house. With that bloody car out the front and motorbike and all this stuff. It's how people who want to buy your house, well, you're losing out. So the poor are disliked even by their neighbours. The rich have many friends. Those who despise their neighbours are sinners. Happy are those who are kind to the poor. And we finish with this. A tranquil mind gives life to the flesh. Jealousy makes the bones rot. Those who oppress the poor insult their maker. Those who are kind to the needy, honour him.